That's in the church Bible. Okay. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. This is God's word.
Amen. It is. So let's ask for God's help. Let me also welcome you. My name is Luke. I'm one of the leaders here. Great to see you here today. Let's ask for God's help as we turn to his word. Our Father, we want to echo what Patrick prayed and ask for a demonstration of your Spirit's power, both in how your word is spoken and how we listen to your word. Please would we respond with repentance and faith and obedience to Jesus, our King, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This guy here in the blue is called Tim de Klerk. I think, is that how you say it? I don't know. He's Belgian. And Auntie Marie-Jeanne, you lived in Belgium, did you, for a while? Oh, someone lived in Belgium. Elif? Oh, she's not here. Okay. I think that's how you say his name, Tim de Klerk. He is a professional cyclist, as you can see, which means that he pours a whole lot of his energy and pain into racing bikes for a living. That's what he does. And yet, he said this: it's okay if I never win. It's okay if I never win. I know my big goal is always to work for the team, and that will never change. Tim de Klerk is content in his role as a domestique, a servant whose job is to help the team leaders to do what they do. Domestiques are happy to be windshields, shock absorbers, fuel providers to help the team leaders fly without distraction. And in the Bible, that's exactly what deacons do. As we saw last week, deacons are spirit-filled super servants who serve the practical needs of the church to help the elders maintain the priority of prayer and preaching. The elders of a church are those who are called by the Lord Jesus to have a role of spiritual oversight, leadership, care for the people in a local church. These are the elders here at Silver Street. And as elders here, we are at maximum capacity. And our practical admin-type responsibilities are beginning to distract from our primary calling. So that's why we are moving towards appointing deacons here at Silver Street. That's the why. But who? Who should we appoint? What type of person does the Lord Jesus call to this particular role? Now, depending on our different experiences, we might have different expectations. Maybe some of us think of Handyman Harish. Do you know anyone like Handyman Harish? Who is a deacon basically because he's got a really good toolbox and he knows how to fix stuff. You've also got Admin Amira. Admin Amira, she is brilliant at organizing. She knows how to work the printer. She has her own hole punch. And she's one of these weird kind of species of creature who actually finds it quite exciting when you're organizing rotors. That's Admin Amira. Maybe you think of Part of the Furniture Pool. Part of the Furniture Pool is a senior figure in church. He's been around for ages. And even though he's not particularly godly, there's this kind of felt sense that he should be honored in some way. And so he's given this reverential title of deacon. Or Manager Margaret. Marge, Big Marge. She's in her professional life, she is the big boss. She is the top dog in her company. She's someone who's clearly just super competent, really successful. And you kind of think, if we put Marge in charge of some stuff in church, then things are going to get done. Are those the kind of things that qualify someone to be a deacon? Perhaps lots of us have been in churches where it feels like people are appointed in that kind of way. Deacons are appointed for those kind of reasons. But do you know, Jesus is much less interested in particular skills and much more interested in character. We see that here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which tells us who to appoint as deacons. The Lord Jesus doesn't leave us just to kind of guess and work it out. He's actually given us instructions for this particular reason, to show us who we should appoint as deacons. And notice that verse 8 does not say deacons must be able to use a screwdriver, a saucepan, or a spreadsheet. It says actually, verse 8, deacons are to be worthy of respect. The focus is on godly character. And we might think, well, yeah, I understand why that's important for the elders, for the spiritual leaders of a church. But if deacons is more about all the practical stuff, then why does it matter quite so much? Well, deacon is a formal office of the church. Deacons represent the church. They represent Christ. Godliness is important. It matters. And also the nature of deacony kind of work means that they're probably going to be mobilizing teams of others rather than just doing it all themselves. They'll be working with teams. They're likely to be working with perhaps vulnerable people, dealing with tensions and problems. And so godliness matters. It's no good Janitor Jeff mending the light if he breaks relationships along the way. Serving as a deacon is spiritual work, and so godliness really matters. And here in 1 Timothy 3, we get something of a personal profile for a deacon, a personal profile of a deacon. 1 Timothy, which we have in our Bibles, is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor, Timothy. But it is a public letter. The church are invited to kind of look over his shoulder and read it with Timothy. And we too are invited to be nosy. It's here for us to learn from. This passage helps to define the type of person that the elders here at Silver Street will recommend as deacons. But actually, as we saw last week, this is a process that the whole church is involved in. As we'll see, deacons should be widely known and recognized as having these characteristics. So as we go through this today, I'd invite you to think about who here at Silver Street fits this description. What people among us would you be happy to affirm in this kind of way? And as we go, why not also measure your own character alongside this yardstick? Whether the Lord will call us to be deacons or not, these are godly characteristics that we should all aspire to. So as well as thinking about others, actually, why not use this part of God's word as a mirror to show us about our own character, to do an honest assessment of ourselves? So here then is a personal profile of the type of people the Lord is looking for. And it starts with the fact that deacons must be servants. We get the word deacon there in verse 8. Hopefully you've got a Bible. Look down. You'll need that today. Look down in verse 8. Can you see there, deacons? And again, we get the word in verse 12. Deacon is simply a word that means servant. Deacons are not those who battle with the elders for vision and leadership. They understand that their role is domestique. So one of the first questions we should ask about a potential deacon is that person a servant? Are they servant-hearted? Are they already serving sacrificially in the life of church? Are they happy, as it were, not to cross the line first, but to be in the support team? Are they happy, as it were, to sing backing vocals, or are they desperate to play lead guitar? Are they the type of people who volunteer to do the dirty jobs? Are they humble? Do they expect to be served or to serve? Do they expect recognition? Look, I just wanted you to know that I've done all of this by myself. Or are they happy to plug away unseen, unrecognized in the background? When lunch is being served after the service, are you more likely to find them at the front of the queue or behind the table? Do they know where the Hoover is? Do they come to church expecting to receive or looking to give? Are they servants? Deacons are servants. And by the way, servants can be male or female. Verse 11, we read, in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect. So the original Greek word, gynekas, can equally be translated as women or wives. So some people think this is talking about deacons' wives rather than female deacons. And that's something that Christians can agree to disagree on. It's not something that we have to divide over. But as elders here at Silver Street, we are of the view that women can and should serve as deacons. The context suggests, and I can give you much more detail on this, we can talk about when we've got a bit more time after the service. We've got a sermon discussion afterwards, actually, after lunch, so we can talk more about this there if you'd like more detail. But just briefly, the context suggests that it may be better to translate this as women, not wives. For example, Paul uses that same Greek word 8 other times in 1 Timothy, and it normally means women, not wives. It would seem odd to mention requirements for deacons' wives, but not mention anything about elders' wives. And then another clue is that in Romans 16, verse 1, we read about our sister Phoebe, who is called a deacon. And it is possible that she's just been called servant-hearted, but it seems more likely that she was a deacon of that particular church. Now, those are kind of Greek grammar things which we could go into in more detail, and they could be argued one way or another. But significantly, nowhere in the Bible does it say that women shouldn't serve as deacons. It seems clear from God's word that women are not called to serve as elders. The spiritual leadership, the pastoral responsibility, the preaching of the word, that's something reserved for male leaders. But if we understand the role of deacons correctly, well, it's not a position of spiritual oversight or authoritative Bible teaching. Deacons are those who serve in sync with the elders and in submission to the elders, and that seems to be a role that both men and women can do. Deacons are servants, male or female, they are servants, which doesn't sound very glamorous, but it's worth remembering this is actually how Jesus describes himself. Do you remember when the disciples were bickering about who was going to get the front row seats and the top jobs in Jesus' kingdom? And Jesus says, you've got it all upside down. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know he uses this exact same word, the deacon word? Jesus himself says, the very reason that I came was to deacon you. He is the suffering servant that Isaiah promised. He's the kind of leader who wraps a towel around himself, bends down with a bucket at his disciples' stinking feet, and does the job of the lowliest servant. He was setting them a pattern of humble service, and he was telling them about his own humble service. The reason that he had come was to deacon them by giving his life as a ransom for many. His death on the cross paid the punishment that selfish sinners like me and you deserve. Do you know, in our sinful nature, if we're honest with ourselves, we would much rather be served than serve, right? Just think about maybe you get in after a long day at work or school. Think about what you want to do then and what you do then. Doesn't that just prove that all of us actually would rather be served than serve? Maybe it's just me. All of us would rather look after our own needs and value ourselves above others, which is why we're so proud. It's why we're selfish. It's why we follow our own ways rather than God's ways. And that is ugly. It's ugly even to us, and certainly it's ugly to God. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that we deserve the punishment of hell for that kind of selfish sin. But Jesus has paid it all. Isn't that good news, brothers and sisters? I think we can say amen. Praise God. That is good news that Jesus has paid it all. Being one of his people is not about what we do for Jesus, but what Jesus has done for us. Before we can ever dream of serving him, we need to be served by Jesus. Receive the gift that he has given us. Allow ourselves to be washed by Jesus, washed by his blood. Can I ask you this morning, have you bowed the knee to this servant king? Are you following him? Are you trying to earn his favor by working your fingers down to the bone? Or do you understand that his favor is received by grace alone? If you haven't already done so, I urge you today to admit that you are dirty and ask for Jesus to wash you. Allow yourself to be washed by Jesus. The Jesus who is in very nature God, and yet did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, becoming obedient to death on a cross. But then he rose, and now he reigns, and he invites us to enter into the service of the king. And if Jesus is calling you to be a servant, then have no shame, because in Jesus' kingdom, this is a glorious role. Deacons are servants, and they are servants who clearly live for Jesus. Clearly live for Jesus. Now, this is a summary of a few different phrases. Someone tell me, in fact, all of you tell me, what is the verse that comes up in the phrase that comes up in verse 8 and again in verse 11? Worthy of respect. Can you all see that? It happens twice. Worthy of respect. That means dignified, a life that you can hold in high esteem. Verse 9 says they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience, which means they must know and show the gospel. While deacons are not required to be gifted Bible teachers, they are likely to have opportunities to share God's word into the lives of the team that they lead or the people that they serve. And so it's really important for deacons to be clear about the truths of the Bible, to believe it for themselves, and to be living in line with it. That's what it means to hold to these truths with a clear conscience. What they say and what they do should match up. Their lives should be evidence of the beauty that they believe. They must know the gospel and show the gospel. Or as we saw from last week in Acts chapter 6, there was a phrase there. They must be those who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Known to be full of the Spirit. Now, every Christian is filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live in all Christians. But these people, these ones who are to be deacons, are those who are to be mature Christians, clearly keeping in step with the Spirit, their lives filled with the fruit of the Spirit. This person that you're thinking about who might be a potential deacon, is there clear evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Think about this in terms of your own life as well. Is there clear evidence of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Do people feel valued by them? Are they sharp or cold or prickly? Or are they gentle and kind? Do they have a joyful, peaceful trust in Jesus, even in difficult circumstances? Are they full of the Holy Spirit? Are they full of wisdom? Are their life choices shaped by a fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom? Are they good at applying God's word into God's world? Do they have a track record of making good decisions in life, coming up with solutions to problems? As they address these issues, do they come to the Lord to ask for his wisdom, or do they rely on their own know-how? Notice how it doesn't just say that deacons are those who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, but they must be known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, worthy of respect. These are those who have a track record, a proven reputation for being increasingly like Jesus. And obviously we're all still sinners, we're works in progress, but with deacons there should be this recognisable spiritual maturity that is widely acknowledged. As elders, we will propose some potential deacons to the church family and we will affirm them together. But feel free to come to one of the elders, Patrick, Jonathan or myself, if you notice someone who you think has the characteristics that are being outlined here. You can come and say, I think this person is really, I've noticed they have all of these characteristics. Because after all, it should be people who all of us, if to all of us it's obvious that they clearly are living for Jesus. And those who are then proven. Notice verse 10. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. This is a serious calling. It's not something to be rushed into. It's not a good idea to take chances on people who are unproven. So we won't be formally proposing anyone as a deacon until at least our church family meeting in October or November. That's the earliest that we'll do that. A short while before that, we will be approaching some of the people that we think could serve in this way and asking them to prayerfully consider it. Then there'll be an interview with the elders. That's all part of the testing process. And even before then, there's plenty of time for us all to think and to pray and for those gifts and that godliness to be tested in the life of church. And this godliness should be tested particularly and proven in particularly three areas. These servants who clearly love Jesus are to be proven in the areas of speech, self-control, and stability. So speech, firstly, look at verse 8. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere. Literally, the word there is those who are not di logos. Logos as in word, di as in two. So think of a snake with a forked tongue. Deacons are not to be double-tongued, double-talking, two-faced. Their words, rather, should be like Robin Hood's arrow, true and trustworthy and straight, not wavering at all. They must not be those who say one thing to one person and then another thing to someone else. They must avoid flattery and half-truths. They must always speak the truth in love. Their yes should be yes, their no should be no. You should never be left unsure whether they will do what they say. They won't make promises that they can't keep. Verse 11, here's another thing about speech. In the same way, the women, as we've seen, that's probably women deacons, are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers. They'll avoid slander, knowing how great a forest fire can be started by a single spark, how big a ship can be turned into disaster by the rudder of the tongue. They won't share private information. They won't betray confidence to make people look bad. But you know what? When I was helping so-and-so out, you'll never guess what I saw. It wouldn't be helpful. Deacons have trustworthy tongues. The devil is the father of lies and half-truths. Our Lord Jesus came full of truth and grace. He wasn't harsh or aggressive with his words, but neither did he dodge the truth. And of course, all of his followers should seek to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but you can see why this is particularly important for deacons. Clear, trustworthy, productive speech is so important in solving problems, protecting unity, and getting things done. Speaking gospel truth is the thing that nourishes the church. Some deacon roles might include access to church finances or might involve people or knowing people's circumstances, personal circumstances. And of course, it's really important that such a person doesn't have a loose tongue. A deacon should not be a slippery snake whose words you can never quite pin down. They must be sincere in speech and a person of self-control. Isn't it amazing that our Lord Jesus never entertained a lustful thought? Isn't it amazing that he never had just a little bit too much to drink? Or that even after 40 days fasting in the desert, he had the self-control not to become a sinner in order to get dinner? Verse 8. Deacons must not indulge in much wine or pursue dishonest gain. I think those two things go together. They must not be governed by their lusts and passions, whether that be for alcohol or for money, for food, for sex, for anything else. You don't want your bus driver to be drunk. You don't want your MP to be a thief. If these people are going to serve with this big responsibility in church, it's so important for them to be sober and content. After all, they may be involved in managing money or caring for vulnerable people. They may have access or permissions that would be totally inappropriate if their passions were not under control. So ask, is the potential deacon careful in the way that they use and speak about alcohol? Does this person have issues with purity or with food? Is this person greedy or generous? Do they use their time, money, resources sacrificially or selfishly? Is there evidence that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this person is exercising self-control? And this deacon also should display a certain level of stability. That's the meaning of the word temperate in verse 11. Do you see that there? Temperate. That means someone who is not given to extremes in behaviour. Someone who has this element of steadiness and consistency. Of course, there can be all sorts of reasons why, for some of us, life is really chaotic. Our walk with the Lord can be really up and down. And you know, I love the fact that the Lord is so gracious and gentle with those of us who are struggling, those of us for whom life is not straightforward and easy sailing. But when it comes to appointing deacons for this deacon role, it is important that there is some stability. They shouldn't be the type who are on fire for the Lord one minute and then the next minute they're running away from the Lord. They shouldn't be the type who are frequently falling into big patterns of sin. Deacons should be pillars, rocks. There's a similar idea in the next word there in verse 11. Trustworthy in everything. These are solid, faithful people that you can rely on. I mean, after all, it's not really going to help the elders to give over responsibility to someone if they're then not sure whether they're going to actually do what they said or if they're even going to turn up. Patrick found that funny for some reason. If you say you're going to be somewhere, you should be there. If you're needed at a certain time, you should be there by that time. If you say you're going to do something, it should be as good as done. Deacons must be trustworthy in everything, including in family life. Verse 12, a deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. How someone is at home is a good indicator of how they will be in other settings. As someone put it, serving one's spouse is the ultimate training ground for serving the saints. Now, not all deacons may have a family, but for those who do, faithful family life is a must. That's another evidence of this kind of consistency, stability. So here you go. I know you've done well to stick with me so far. It's a warm day. I'm getting quite hot. I might even be dripping a bit, sorry. But hopefully you're with me so far. This is the personal profile of someone who could serve as a deacon. And I think you'll agree with me that the character standard is pretty high. It's a pretty high bar. It is not the case that deacons are just kind of less godly, less mature versions of elders. It's like, well, what do we do with this person? This person's, they're quite keen and they're always involved, but there's a few things that are a bit dodgy and a bit ropey. Yeah, they can just be a deacon. That's not how it is at all. Elders and deacons have the same goal, different roles. Both are involved in spiritual work, and so both must display the spirit at work. Handyman Harish, do you remember him? And Admin Amira and Manager Marge. They have great skills that will be a blessing to the church, but they should only be deacons if they also have the character that we've talked about today. Character is key. The standard is a very high bar. And of course, we have to hold alongside this a gracious understanding that no one does this perfectly. We are all sinners saved by grace. We're all works in progress. But this personal profile describes the type of people, the kind of character that is needed to serve well as a deacon. And so maybe we're tempted to think, after all that, do you know what? If the standard is that high and the work is that hard and the responsibility is that significant, I don't think I want to do it at all. But take a look at verse 13. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Do you remember Tim de Klerk? Sorry, I've gone too far. Thank you. Here he is. Tim de Klerk, this cycling domestique. He is someone who works for the team, not for himself. In fact, the last time that he rode or finished the Tour de France, he finished in dead last place. 141st out of 141 finishers. But that's not his job to finish high up the standings. His job is to work for the team. And you know, his excellent service on behalf of the team has earned him a lot of respect and an affectionate nickname. His nickname is El Tractor. He is known as the Tractor because he is a machine. He is a reliable machine who gets through a massive workload at the front of the pack. He is widely regarded and respected as one of the best domestiques around. Deacons who serve well gain two things: a growing respect from those in church. Deacons do not serve for the recognition, but actually their humble service does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. And they also gain great assurance in their faith. As they serve like Jesus, God blesses them with an increasing boldness in their relationship with him. For as we serve in the way that God calls us to serve, we can expect to grow in closeness to him. What a reward that is. What a calling this is. We can only serve Jesus if Jesus has first served us. And so as we finish, the first step for each of us today is to put down the tools of our own best efforts so that our hands are empty to receive his free gift. Have you bowed the knee to King Jesus? And if so, I wonder in what way is the Lord calling you to serve? Whether as a deacon of the church or as an unnamed servant of the Lord, may the Holy Spirit empower us to live like Jesus, to live for Jesus, following the example of Jesus, our servant King. Let's ask for his help in that. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for our Lord Jesus, the one who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thank you that you have called us each to play our part in the life of church, that together we can pull in the same direction for that same goal of making Jesus known and seeing your gospel spread across the world. Thank you for those who you have raised up here in this church family who already are serving in various ways. Please would you raise up those that we can all recognize as having these character qualities and the gifts that will allow them to serve as deacons, and help us all to serve in the way that you have called us to. We pray this so that the gospel would spread, so that many would hear the good news of Jesus and be added to the number of those who are being saved here at Silver Street. So thank you for teaching us through your word. And thank you most of all for our servant King, the Lord Jesus. Help us to worship him with our hearts and with our lives. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing that song that we learnt last week.